You may have a seat.
Okay, good morning, everyone. Welcome to the WMATA board meeting. First item on the agenda is the roll call. We recognize our secretary to call the roll.
Chair Evans?
Present.
Vice Chair Crawford?
Present.
Vice Chair Corcoran?
Here.
Director McMillan?
Here.
Alternate Marudian for Director Price?
Present.
Director Goldman?
Present.
Director Hudgens?
Present.
Director Horner?
Here.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Next item on the agenda is the approval of the agenda. I move the agenda. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion of the agenda? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Next item on the agenda is approval of the minutes for April 26, 2018 board meeting, April 26, 2018 executive session, May 10th, 2018 executive session. So I move approval of the minutes. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion of the minutes? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Next item on the agenda is the employee spotlight. Mr. Wiedefeld.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. For this month's employee spotlight, we recognize Metro employee Casey Wade. If you could stand, please. Who saved the life of a customer after she fell on the tracks at Potomac Avenue Station. Mr. Wade has been with Metro for over a decade, was at the station on Saturday, April 28th, as part of the track access escort support group. With a weekend single tracking project underway to repair the tracks between Eastern Market and Stadium Armory. Mr. Wade's primary focus was to provide escort support for contractors, both on and off the roadway, in a safe and mindful manner. That Saturday morning, power was down on track two, and all trains were moving through the area on track one. Then at approximately 11:45 a.m., a woman fell onto track one, and she remained unmoving on the track bed as the headlamps of an approaching train illuminated the scene. Customers who witnessed her fall alerted the station manager, and the rock was notified. But as the train approached, Mr. Wade took action and signaled for the train to stop. He hustled down to the platform to the woman and spoke to her to assess the situation. Once the rail power was taken down, Mr. Wade entered the roadway, helped the woman up, and lifted her to the platform to safety. With assistance from the District Fire Department, the woman was taken to Washington Hospital Center for treatment. Today, we thank Mr. Wade for alerting the incoming train to stop, for quickly rendering aid to the victim, and for ultimately getting her out of harm's way. We appreciate this quick thinking and heroic actions. Mr. Wade, please come forward and join me to accept your recognition.
Thank you very much and congratulations. Next item on our agenda is our public comment. We have four individuals signed up today, starting with Mr. Bell. Mr. Bell, are you here? No, Mr. Bell. Okay. Go on to Steve Caffin. Welcome to the Metro Board meeting.
Thanks. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm a resident of D.C. I'm a ball field on circle. And I'd like to talk about the 42 bus proposals very quickly. I urge that all three of them be rejected. And the reason is that they adversely affect three key Northwest communities, Mount Pleasant, Adams Morgan, and DuPont Circle, which have a large number of seniors and minority residents that rely upon the 42 bus. The main transfer point to the metro is at Q and Connecticut. And the reason principally for seniors and for persons with disabilities is the adjacent elevator, which is convenient, normally operating, and very well lit. Both northbound and southbound, that's a very important stop. I think before proceeding with any change to the 42 bus, in conjunction with DDOT, the two current private bus companies that are blocking the right lanes going into DuPont Circle, should be relocated either to another street or else to Union Station. That would have a major effect on the traffic flow and, in particular, the 42 bus. One proposal is to expand the H1. May I suggest a circulator bus from DuPont Circle to Kennedy Center with stops en route? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much for those comments.
You're welcome. Any questions? Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much.
Sure.
Okay. You have the right guy right over here. He runs the bus in the district. All right. Next is Laura Fleischer. Welcome to the Metro Board.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Haven't done public speaking for a long time, so. I'm a resident of Washington, D.C. I moved here 5 years ago for work, and have sold my car in that process, knowing that there was excellent public transportation options. I live in the Kennedy Warren up next to the zoo, so the Red Line, which was great in the beginning, and then I switched to using the L2 to get downtown, to switch to Farragut West, it takes me to work. I work at HUD. So knowing that there's a proposal to take the Devonshire stop away, which is located not only directly right by the Kennedy Warren, but two other large condos and residential neighborhood, and indicating that we would have to then walk down to the zoo stop, that presents a lot of issues for senior citizens, families with children, people that might have a medical disability, rosaries, inclement weather, et cetera, et cetera. So we made a great effort through the Kennedy Warren to get the word out so people would get surveys sent in. We reached out to also the two complexes across the street from us, knowing that this stop is well used by your riders. So hopefully my words, and I know the Kennedy Warren management and was going to also submit a letter on behalf, so I don't know how long that bus stop has been there, how many times it's been proposed to remove, but so that's for that stop. Also for the L1, sometimes I utilize that to get downtown, but I can say that is always packed early in the morning because this brings folks down into the Foggy Bottom area, State Department, George Washington University, so I also just want to make that comment on the behalf of friends that I know that utilize that service. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much for your comment. And finally, Michael Sindrum. Welcome to the Metro Board, Mr. Sindrum.
Good morning. I'm Michael Sindrum, disabled veteran, served our country more than most. It's not helpful, Mr. Evans, when you change the times, musical chairs for the board meeting. Normally it's 11. You've been doing it 10. For Speedy Gonzalez, I know you're an attorney. You want to do other things. The public trust is at issue. If you don't have time for us, we don't have time for you. I want to appear by phone. I want a reasonable accommodation to appear by phone at the public comment and to hear the meetings. And all other government entities, the Board of Elections, Board of Ethics, Government Accountability, and so on. It's done. Why isn't it not done here, Mr. Evans? Okay, Christian Blake, 10 years. When Christian Kent was on this, they fired him. That's how mean-spirited you all are. Mr. Wedefeld, there's still a phone line. What gives? You promised me it would be lifted, and it's not. And to call one time a week to have the chief bribe me for a bike lot, not to call, there are weighty issues to talk about. I'm a disabled veteran, I'm an accessible patron, I have needs to connect, okay, plain and simple. You gotta do your job. If you can't, like President Trump's dumpster said, you're fired, okay? Real simple. Ms. Hutchins, I wrote you back on January of 2011. Theft. Nobody does anything about it here. Nothing. There's land giveaway, Mr. IG. Land giveaway. It defies logic how you all say you're hurting for finances, and giving land away, valuable land. I've knocked at your door 10 years. I want to speak with you. As long as you don't bite me, I ain't going to bite you. Make some time. There are some weighty issues you need to address, all right? And so I'm going to pass up, oh, speaking of you, Metro may be stifling its watchdog. Maybe that's why you're impotent. I want to pass this up, and I want to pass up a letter that I've written to, what's his name there? Metro Transit Chief Pavlak, who have yet to get a response. And again, Ms. Hutchins, I'd like a counter response. There's an election coming up. If I need, I'll come out your way and run and win.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Syndrome.
Okay, so do I give this? Who's got? Where's the secretary here? So ADA, I'd like the next meeting I can appear by phone, Mr. Evans.
We'll look into it, Mr. Syndrome.
Look into
Thank
it.
You very much. Okay, our next item on the agenda is the report by the Accessory Advisory Committee, Mr. Posner. Welcome to the Metro Board.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We have a non-rainy day for a change.
Yes.
Also a reminder, next week is International MS Recognition Week. So all of us with some challenges recommend that. You have helped us all for a lot of ways of getting around. We had an active month of May. Our coordination group, outreach group, got some input from the New York Accessibility Group on the planning for their new trains, which is sort of exciting. They sent us a diagram of their internal setup, and one of the things that they're planning on using is something that we might want to investigate, and that is flip-up seats for the accessibility areas, the priority seating, similar to the ones we use on our buses. It's a possibility to have an area where it would be safe for wheelchairs, but if a wheelchair isn't there, the seats can be brought down and can be popped up, and I thought that was something worth bringing forward. We're expanding the outreach to other jurisdictions that are our peers, and so maybe we'll get some more good ideas that we can pass on to the engineering group that's putting together the final plans. The other thing that we wanted to talk about was a presentation received on the cash-free bus pilot that you'll all receive today. The committee received it last week. I attended that presentation. And cash-free buses are something we have always worried about for the disability community and the underserved community, because there is a group that doesn't have access to anything but cash, do not have credit cards, do not have bank accounts, do not have checking accounts. We asked the numbers, and the numbers you'll get are that 3% of the riders on the particular route that they're talking about, which is Route 70, 79, express route, 3% pay cash. Well, 3% sounds like a small number. That's 200 people a day. We asked for the actual number. That's a lot of people. Now, the amount of time that they're going to save, again, when they just said it's faster and there's a lot of delay, well, the reality of what they're going to save is that it's 2 to 4 seconds versus 7 to 8 seconds for cash. Now, it's not really 7 to 8 seconds for cash, because they included cash plus loading your cards on the bus. The loading of the cards on the bus is actually 10 seconds. And what we would hope that you would do if you're going to affect this is not make it cash-free, but make it no card loading on the bus. And that would take care of the 10-second slowness. As far as the caches go, you've been on there. They just throw the cash in the box and they move on. If you say there's an alternate route, which they do, which is the 70, the 79 Express makes 16 stops from end to end. The alternate route, the 70, makes 49 stops. So what you are doing is saying that it's okay you have an alternate, it just makes three times as many stops. And so what I'm asking is, when you do the analysis and let the bus people do the analysis of how much time you actually save by eliminating cash rather than just by eliminating the loading of cars, make a decision that has a little heart to it for the people, the large population that doesn't have it. Because this is a pilot that's going to affect everything from Columbia Pike throughout the entire system. And I think that's really important to take into account. The other thing that we had with bus rail was during the weekends, there's a lot of work going on, which is really important. There's a lot of single tracking, and typically all of the lines are running possibly every 24 minutes or more, depending upon breakdowns. One of the things that our group has noticed is on the weekends, there aren't a lot of eight-car trains. And so when you have the Silver Line stop at Ballston, and then everybody loads on to the Orange Line, and there's only a six-car train, and it's not a new six-car train, and it's not always a 6,000 series or even a 5,000 series train, that may be one of the reasons people aren't riding on the weekends. So I know it costs more power to run the eight cars, but you might consider upgrading the level of the cars and the numbers running on the weekend when there's 24 minutes between trains and you're terminating lines before the end. The other thing that happened, which is really good news, we presented the new MAC contract, Metro Access contract, which takes effect on June the 1st. And on that contract, Challenger has been added as a service provider, along with Diamond, Transdev, and First Transit. And the good news is we're now dividing load over four rather than three. And again, hopefully we'll maintain our on-time performance and our other performance. So that was really good news for us. We had an update on the rehab of the current Metro Access vehicles, and that's moving along forward. Most of the things are being addressed that can be addressed. And the good news is we're planning for the future. The next purchase will be in 2020, and we're going to be discussing that with staff and putting together an organization. Look at that. Dr. Tappan Banerjee, who is an expert on paratransit, is a member of the International Disability Community, also the chair of the Fairfax County Disability Group, will be an advisor on that group. And instead of just dealing with Ford, we're also going to be dealing with Braun and Ford. And with our outreach, we're going to attempt to have a standard Metro Access vehicle adopted by New York, Delaware, other peer agencies that will give us some bargaining power. So I won't go any longer than that, and happy to answer any questions.
Okay, thank you very much for your report. Any questions? Yes, Mr. Goldman.
Mr. Fosner, your written statement included a reference to a letter that Christian Blake sent to riders on the Ability Rides program. Did you include that letter in your submission as an attachment?
Yes, we requested that be included, and I'll check with Mr. Blake to what happened as to why it wasn't sent forward. And one of the things that's happened with Ability Ride this week, which I thought I'd mention to you, we had a young lady who was on dialysis who was having difficulty with her timing, because when you get out of dialysis, you're wiped out. You don't want to sit around for an hour waiting for your pickup to come back. And we found out at a meeting that all of her work happens in Prince George's County, and she was eligible for Abilities Ride, and we have now switched her over to the special program that is referred to in the letter for Abilities Ride. So the program's working. The number of Metro Access rides continues to stay at 2% less than it's been in previous years. So the dam is holding. The flood has not taken place with the old
thank people. You, Mr. Posner.
So thank you all very much.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Posner.
Make sure that letter, because a member of the public complained that for some reason the letter didn't appear on the website. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next, this report by the Riders Advisory Council, Mr. Messenger. Mize, whatever.
Thank you very much, Chairman Evans.
Meisner.
Catherine Cornham could not come today. She sent me in her place. My name is Paul Meisner, member of the Riders Advisory Council from the Commonwealth of Virginia. I'll be very quick. The materials, the letter that she had submitted should be attached to your materials. Let me just go through it very briefly, point out some important points. First of all, regarding the operational review of the Riders Advisory Council, we have no further information as to the status of the review and hope that discussions are moving forward on a board level so that the RAC, again, can be very useful to WMATA board and staff. Second, we talked about at our last meeting the Fair Collection Modernization Program. Mr. Pasek provided a summary of the program and the plans underway. A couple quick questions that we had were whether the mobile app that we are developing would be able to load credit card payments onto the smart trip, onto your smart trip cards. Some riders were very concerned that the if you load via the mobile app, it could take as many as 24 hours for that for those credits to appear, which could cause problems for our riders. Also, we are concerned about the proportion of the ADA fare gates at our stations, and we look forward to working with the AAC on making sure that there are enough portals for enough fare gates for both ADA needed persons and non-ADA riders. Also, will fare machines be fare machines be in multiple languages and be visible for tourists and other persons that do not use the Metro Rail system regularly. Also, we talked about the fare share program update. This is a matter of some concern for the Riders Advisory Council. First of all, was the cost effectiveness of added patrols and Metro Transit Police at our stations, making sure that they are that the amount of money that we are collecting that increases in fares will justify the cost of those added patrols. Also, we are concerned about the procedures for fare evaders or suspected fare evaders. Would a first-time fare evader be just given a citation, or there could be broad discretion there, could it result in arrests and detainments? So we are concerned that there are not proper procedures, written procedures, so that station managers and Metro Transit Police have in dealing with suspected fare evaders. The final item Mr. Pasek talked to us about was the UPass program. The Riders Advisory Council is very supportive of the UPass program, and we definitely look forward to other universities and colleges becoming part of that program, and we are very supportive of those efforts. On a personal note, I am resigning from the Riders Advisory Council effective next month. I've taken a job in Ohio, and I will be joining the citizens group there. So I hope all the experiences that I've gotten from my last year and a half here will be applicable and helpful there. And one final note for me personally is something about the Riders Advisory Council. We're a good group of people, and this is important. We represent literally, collectively, decades of transportation experience, public outreach experience, public relations experience. Some of us have advanced degrees. We are an invaluable resource to WMATA, board, and staff. And the thing is, we don't get paid for that. We don't get paid for that opportunity. We don't, frankly, speaking for myself, we don't want to be. We just want to be a resource that believes in Metro and believes in WMATA. And we believe in public transit. So we encourage the board to work with us and helping us to become useful to the board and staff again. Any questions?
Well, great. Thank you very much. And certainly, congratulations. Thank you for your service here. And good luck in your new position. So
thank
we're going to have, wait a minute, though. But any questions for anyone? Any questions at all? Again, thank you very much. And Godspeed in your new job. All right. Next item on the agenda is a report by the chair. So good morning, everyone. And on behalf of the board, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank the region for stepping up to provide the late night Metro service for the Caps. Go Caps. Finally, we are headed to the Stanley Cup. Personally, I'd like to recognize and thank Exelon Pepco, the downtown D.C. Business Improvement District in the state of Qatar, and Uber for sponsoring an extra hour of service for Caps fans, ensuring they had transit options to get them home from the games. So it was really worked out well. We didn't have any overtime games. They all ended before 11:30. But I have to say the extra hour is very important. I tend to wander around when I go to the game. So I was at the Caps game, and I was wandering through the hallways. And more than one of the ushers stopped me and said, thank you for Metro for staying open late. You know, we have to stay after the games are over to close up and clean up the place. And so to have that extra hour, one woman told me her husband doesn't have to drive down to pick her up so she could take the train. So I tell you how valuable that is for people, not only the fans, not only the people who stay around afterwards to go to the bars, but the people who are working in that arena, and people who are working in the restaurants and the bars to get home after these games are over. So very, very exciting opportunity. Paul, you can brief us on some of this stuff, how last night went. I think the arena stayed open, which is great. We had over 10,000 fans there. And so how it worked with Metro, I know you and I talked, we were going to get extra security there and tell us how that all went. And just for the numbers, from 10 o'clock on, about 6,500 average people rode Metro during those game nights. And that the arena holds 18,000-19,000 people. It's not one for one, but one out of every three fans are taking Metro home. And so just to give you an idea how important Metro is to this whole operation downtown here. So upcoming games, if anybody's interested, the first games are in Las Vegas starting on, Monday night, the 28th, is the first game in Vegas. Wednesday night, the 30th, is the second. Then we're back here in D.C. on June 2nd, Saturday, June 2nd. Monday, June 4th, we're in D.C. And we'll be back if there is an extra need for a sixth game on Sunday, the 10th, in D.C. So anyone who knows any late-night sponsors, please get in touch with us so we can start signing you up again. And there is no truth to the rumor that North Korea is going to sponsor one. That is not true, if anybody's concerned. Anyway, just a small joke. Okay, moving along. I'm also happy to report that we've renewed our partnership with CVS. So CVS is back on board to provide Metro customers continued access to transit services through the sale of the SmartTrip cards. With stores throughout the region participating, CVS will continue to be a convenient option for customers to purchase SmartTrip cards. This renewal is a win-win for customers, Metro and CVS. And then finally, Metro wants your feedback on a potential joint development project at the Deanwood Metro Station. Project would convert the station's park and ride surface lot into a new multifamily residential project and additional retail spaces. The current bus loop and kiss and ride area would remain, but the park and ride would be eliminated and not replaced. Public hearing for this project is June 20th at 7:15 p.m. with an open house beginning at 7. The hearing will be held at the Deanwood Recreation Center. You can also take a project survey on WMATA.com, and we're looking forward to getting your input on this potential project. And that concludes my report. So now I'll turn to the general manager, Mr. Wiederpelt.
Okay. Good morning again. I'll give an update on our three priorities: safety, service reliability, and fiscal management. On the safety side, glad to report that we've reached a safety milestone this month that's been 3 years in the making. We have now retrofitted all 9,454 power cable connectors in the Metrorail system, better known as the orange boots, with protective sealing sleeves. These sleeves prevent moisture and particles from encountering electrical current, thus preventing fire and smoke incidents. This was an NTSB recommendation following the LaFond incident. We have been working since then to make the critical improvements and will continue our inspection and maintenance program to ensure the connectors remain in a state of repair. In terms of service, I'm pleased to report again that we are now at 88% on-time performance through March and April. That means nearly 9 out of 10 trips taken on Metrorail are arriving on time. This is good news for our customers, obviously, and the result of many improvements we've made and that are underway, including more reliable rail cars, better track maintenance, and fewer unplanned single tracking events. And when customers are delayed, the rush hour promise has been in place for 4 months now. In that time, we have about 75 We've had about 75 rush hour promise commuting days, and we have issued just over 140,000 credits for trips that exceed the 15-minute threshold. Just put that a little bit in perspective, in that same amount of time, those same 75 rush hour commuting days, we moved roughly 40,000 customers. One of the most active days of the program came last week, when on Monday an unauthorized individual entered the Red Line Tunnel at Judiciary Square and began walking towards Union Station. Red line trains were held on both tracks, and power was taken down for the police response. This single event caused thousands of red line trips to be delayed during rush hour. And for the day, a total of 6,635 credits were issued, totaling roughly $24,000 in value. Despite incidents like this, the program continues to come in under budget, with approximately $500,000 expended to date. That's about 36% under the budget against the original $2.5 million projected for the year. And I believe a testament to the improved service that we're able to provide our customers on most days. In terms of other things we're doing for our customers, we have a summer promotion with Dunkin' Donuts again this year. We've partnered with Dunkin' Donuts for the popular Transit Tuesday promotion kicking off on June 5th. On Tuesdays in June, July, and August, Metro customers can purchase any size hot or cold coffee at local Dunkin' Donuts locations for $1.69. Dunkin' Donuts will also send its community cruiser to Metro work sites throughout the summer to offer a pick-me-up for our customers and for our employees. This was a great partnership last year for our riders, for our employees, and for Dunkin' Donuts, so I'm pleased to see it return this summer. In terms of financial, on the financial front, the 7-day regional pass is now available for purchase at the fare vending machines in all Metrorail stations. This is an effort to increase the availability for this cost-saving pass. As you recall, the board, when we passed the fare increase last year, we kept the price of the bus pass steady. So today, any rider who takes 9 or more regular bus trips on a week will save money with this pass. This pass is one of the products most often purchased at CVS, so thank you, Mr. Chairman, for all your efforts there from locations across the region, so I'm pleased that we continue our relationship with CVS. We will continue to work to ensure that all Metro employees can purchase fares as seamlessly as possible, and that includes bus and rail customers, riders who have access to the Internet and those who do not, and riders who have credit cards and bank accounts, as well as those who do not. We are committed to meeting the needs of our diverse ridership and to find solutions that are inclusive for all. Mr. Chairman, that concludes my remarks for today.
Okay, thank you for your report. Any questions for the general manager? Questions, comments? Nothing. How did it go last night?
Very good. Yes, to respond. I also wanted to thank, obviously, our sponsors, but I also wanted to thank our employees because things were moved very yes. quickly, as you can imagine, with games, are they being played out or not. So for them to respond, and not only to respond to coming to work, but then how they responded to the events. And last night was a good example of that. You know, that evolved very quickly. Yeah. You and I spoke late last night as this thing was evolving. I worked with our chief and our chief operations people, and they had trains set up ready to go. We had the police presence out there for crowd control. I thought it went very smoothly, and we're looking very forward to next week.
Excellent. Thank you. And it's a good point to thank our employees who worked extra hours, long and hard, and all I get are positive comments back from everybody who were riding the trains after the games and everything. So thank you to our employees for doing such an excellent job. Okay, next item on the agenda is a report by the Safety and Service Delivery Committee, Mr. Crawford. Okay.
The first item that we want to bring forward, thank you, is a recommendation from the staff. The staff sought confirmation to continue Metro's continued operating hours and supplemental bus service until on or about July 1, 2019, to allow Metro to continue preventive maintenance program. Mr. Chairman, I move for approval.
Okay, motion's been made for approval. Is there a second? Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. And anything else?
Yes, I have one more. I have a second one. This is the cash-free bus pilot. The staff sought approval to pilot a cash-free bus service on the Metro Extra Route 79 for up to 6 months, as well as conduct a public hearing to eliminate onboard cash transactions on certain Metro Extra, Metro Way, and limited stop Metro bus routes on a permanent basis. Staff will report back to the board with results of the Route 79 pilot in the fall. Mr. Chairman, I move for approval.
Motion's been made. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Mr. Goldman?
Chair. Yes. I wasn't able to attend the meeting of that committee 2 weeks ago because I was in another committee. And then, so my question is, and it's really a question to the general manager, what are the instructions to the bus operator on this cash-free pilot? Is the bus operator to advise the potential rider to wait for the 70 bus? Is he to take the money and let the man or woman sit, or is he just to do nothing and then let the person sit?
No, what they will do is they'll inform them of the program, and we're going to advertise the program, obviously, out there on the street. The buses will be marked so that people can see that. But, yes, someone may get on, and we'll educate them what the program is.
But what happens if you accept the money?
They will deal with it on an individual basis.
Okay.
Okay?
No, but okay.
Anything further? Any other questions, comments? Okay, seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Okay, on to the consent agenda. So we have three items on the board's consent agenda today. I would like to move approval of the following. Number one, elimination of Metro Bus Route W9 and renewal of agreement with U.S. Coast Guard for Route A4. Staff requests approval of the public hearing staff report and table 6 equity analysis to discontinue Coast Guard subsidized Metro Bus Route W9 and renewal of the agreement with the Coast Guard for enhanced service on Route A4. B, line of credit indemnification for banks. The staff requests board indemnification of SunTrust Bank and PNC Bank NA in connection with their respective line of credit agreements. This language is substantially similar in substance and form to the indemnification language for the other two banks in Metro's line of credit program. And C, clarification of resolution 2011-30 for property lease approvals. Staff requests to amend resolution 2011-30-30 approval of procurement and reprogramming policy to clarify the parameters of the board's approval of property leases. So I would like to move approval of the consent agenda. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Discussion, seeing none, all in favor of the consent agenda signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Okay, reports by the jurisdictions, again from the District of Columbia. Congratulations to the Washington Capitals and Monumental Sports for bringing us to a championship series in the District of Columbia in the metropolitan region for the first time since the Washington Redskins. So we're very excited about this and the opportunities for the region coming up, and we look forward to the games and hopefully look forward to bringing the Stanley Cup here to the Washington, D.C. Mr. Crawford from WSTC.
Nothing to report.
Okay. Mr. Cochran from NBTC.
No report.
And Mr. McMillan from the federal government.
No.
Okay. Next is a request for the executive session. In accordance with the bylaws, I, Jack Evans, request that the Board of Directors convene an executive session to discuss the following matters pursuant to Article 2, Paragraph 9, Subsection H, development of WMATA position or strategy on pending or proposed federal or state legislation. So I'd like to move this request. Is there a second? Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. See everybody upstairs, and the meeting is adjourned.